Shalom to all. Today's episode is Shalom Yivam Sav Chaf, and we are starting Yotes on Beis on the bottom with Halacha Yod. And today's episode is sponsored by Nishmas Mars Mem Sarbas Biakam Moshe Hernish Amos should have an Aliyah. So Mishnah says Shlosh Achim, three brothers, and Nusim Shalish Nashim Nachriyos. They're each married to a totally random woman. Their wives are not related. Umes Echad Mehen, one of them dies. So let's say Reuven died. Vasa Bashani Mimer, and the second one Shimon, he did Mimer to Reuven's wife Umes, and then Shimon died. So Reil Chutz Lemis Yav Mois. All of them need Chalitza, not Yibam. Why is that Shemar? Because the pasuk says Yivama Yava Yaleha. Her Yavim should come onto her. What do we learn from here? Shaleha Zika. She has to have Zika of only one Yavam and not two Yavamin. And we'll explain this further right at the beginning of the Gemara. However, Rav Shimon argues and says, Miyam Lezu Shirtze. He can do Yibin to whichever one he wants, and then he can have to do Chalitza to the second one. So he would clarify the Machlaikas. The Gemara Chafa Manaf on top says, Shlesh Achim Sumer Shalash Nashim Chulu. So we begin with the question, which is going to clarify the Mishnah. Ilu Shemaris Yavam Shanafal Fnei Kam Yavamin. If we have a Shemaris Yavam, one woman who fell to multiple Yavamin, Shem Einemis Yavemes, what is she not allowed to undergo Yibam? Of course she is. Let's say we have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, a bunch of brothers, and Reuven dies without children, so his wife falls to a whole bunch of Yavamin, and she's allowed to be taken in Yibam by one of them, and that's not a problem of Zikas Shnei Yavamin. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says that when Reuven's wife fell to Shimon, had Mimer done, and now is falling to Levi, she has Zikas Shnei Yavamin, and it's also due to Yibam. So Tanu Reb Chiya, he clarifies that the Issur in the Mishnah is Eishes Meis Echon Mis Yavemes Loi Eishes Shnei Meisim. The wife of one Meis is able to undergo Yibam, but not the wife of two Meisim. In other words, when we have one woman falling to multiple men, that's perfectly okay for Yibam. That's not called Zikas Shnei Yavamin, as opposed to our Mishnah, when the woman is coming from two husbands, she's coming from Reuven and Shimon. That's because since Shimon only did Mimer to her, and this is Shitas Tanakama, which we already know, tells us that Mimer is only a 50% Kenyan, so she's half married to Reuven, half married to Shimon, so that's called Zikas Shnei Yavamin, and that's why she requires Chalitza, and Memela Vitzara also needs Chalitza. Ask for Nicha, Chalitz Labalas Mimer, Al Shem Eshes Meis Echad Mesevemes Loi Eshes Shnei Meisim. The Mishnah makes sense that he should do Chalitza to the Balas Mimer, to Reuven's original wife. That's because she has to be the wife of one mace and not the wife of two maceim. But Shnia, Lama in Misyavemes, why can't the second one receive Yibum? That's Shimon's original wife. Why can't she have Yibum done by Levi? So Amr Blazer explains, Rameir, he sees Rameir. The Amr of Meir of Meir says, Kol Shain Atmi of Menu, in Atmiyam Tsarasai. If you can't do Yibum to her, so you can't do Yibum to the Tsara either. Even though there's really no Isra over here, it's not like sisters falling to Levi, it's just two random women. Still, since the first one's not able to go Yibum, the second one isn't either. Amr Yechon comments on this, Amr Blazer, if Blazer really said this, Nishama, he heard this from me, the Amra, and he said it. That's because Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, and he would often say things not in the name of his Rabbi Yochanan. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is just saying, you should know that this halacha came from me. And Rabbi Yisrael tells us, Masi Samar Kane, a different Mishnah tells us that this is the correct Pshat in our Mishnah. What does the Mishnah tell us? Ben Teisha Shana Vihem Echad Shabal Yivimtai. We have a boy who's 9 years old in a day, who's Bail his Yavama. We know that halachically that's considered a Bia. So that's considered like she was Mesiabim to him. Now, Umisha Higdel, but when he grew up, when he became over Bar Mitzvah, Nasa Isha Acheres, he married a different woman, Mace, and then he died. So Imla Yadas Rishon Mishahigdel, if he wasn't Bayal, the first one, his Yavama, after he had become Bar Mitzvah, so Ashniya Echeletzes Amisev MS, the second one, which is his new wife, she gets Chalitza or Yibam, and Rishon Echeletzes Lemisev MS, the first one, which is the Yavama, she requires Chalitza, no Yibam, and that's because she's Ashias Shnei Mesem. She's the wife of two Mesem. She still comes from her original husband, and the 9 year old who did Yibam to her is only considered a quasi Yibam because he was never re Bayal her again when he became 13, when he has the ability to be kind to her 100%. And that's just like our Mishnah. It's important to note that in this Mishnah that we're quoting right now, Reb Shimon also argues, and he says that no, she's not considered Eishes Shnei Mesim. Now, continuous clarification, we ask a question. Over here in our Mishnah, Tanakama said that the second woman needs Chalitza, whereas over here in this Mishnah that we're quoting from later on, the Tanakama said that the real wife, the one that was married by the 9 year old after he became Bar Mitzvah, she's allowed to undergo Yibam. Seems to be a steer in Shitas Tanakama. My answer is, that which we said in our Mishnah, Tanakama holds that even Shimon's wife requires Chalitza, that's of Mayor of Reb Shimon. It's Machlekes Rameir Reb Shimon, meaning Tanakama is Shitas Rameir, whereas Behinda Armas Yavemes, that Mishnah later on, that the second woman, which is the real wife, she is allowed to undergo Yibam, Reb Shimon Vrabanon, that's Machlekes Reb Shimon Vrabanon. Either which way we have right for Shitas Reb Lazar, the Tanakama of our Mishnah is Reb Mayor. We continue now discussing Shitas Reb Shimon in our Mishnah, where he can do Yibam to whichever one he wants, and then he has to do Chalitza to the second one. So Reb Oven quotes Reb Bizna, Reb Shimon Acha, emphasizing Vuhushi Yibim Vacha Kachalatz, has to be that he first does Yibam and then Chalitza, Avam Chalatz Betchila, but he first did Chalitza, then Usher, he's not allowed to do Yibam afterwards, Shamakana Mimer, because maybe Mimer really is kind of, these are really co-wives falling for Yibam, Venefter Bechalitza's Chaverta, and it's going to turn out that the other one became Pater through the Chalitza of the first one, therefore, if he wants to do Yibam, he should first do Yibam, then Chalitza. And we got to Halacha Yiralf, the Mishnah tells us, Shnei Achim, Nusun Shnei Achayos, we have a classic case, two brothers married to two sisters, so Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah, Umes Echad Mehen, and one of them dies, so Reuven dies, his wife Rachel is falling to Shimon, but remember, Shimon's married to her sister Leah, but then what happened? Va'achar Kach Mesa Ishtishl Shani. Then the wife of the second one, Shimon's wife Leah, died. So there's just Rachel and Shimon. Harezu Asura Elav Elamis, she's ushered him forever. Hayov Nasr Alav Shahachas, since at one point in time she was ushered to be taken by him through Yibum because she was a Chais Ishtai, so even now that Isser went away, it's still problematic. Gemara quotes Mishnah, Shay Achron Sum Shtei Achais Vechulu, and Amar Ravina, Hadahi the Amar of Hila, quoting Rabbi Yosef, Shem Rabbi Yochanan, the Loi Daima Isra Chais Yavamis, Isra Chais Shein Yavamis. There's no comparison between the Isra of sisters who are Yavamis versus the Isra of sisters that are not Yavamis. And we already mentioned this previously. This is basically saying there's a difference between when we have two sisters married to two brothers, both brothers die, and those two sisters are falling simultaneously to Levi. That's different in this case when we have a case of sisters who are not Yavamis. Reuven and Shimon were married to sisters, and only Reuven died. His wife is now falling to Shimon, and the reason why Shimon's not going to marry her is because it's his wife's sister. That Isser is always going to remain even after Shimon's wife dies. We're going to talk about another situation. The Mishnah tells us, Shnam Shekechu Shtei Nashim, two men were Mekadesh two women. In this stage, neither of them are brothers or sisters. Ubishas Knisos L'Chopa, and at the time of Knisos L'Chopa, Hechlifu Shel Zeh B'Zeh V'Shel Zeh L'Zeh. They ended up switching. In other words, let's just take our regular names, Reuven and Shimon and Rachel and Leah. But at least in this case, they're not brothers and sisters. So after Reuven's Mekadesh Rachel and Shimon's Mekadesh Leah, they're considered married. There's not yet Nisuin, but they're still considered married. And Rachel's not allowed to live with anyone else, and Leah's not allowed to live with anyone else. But that's actually what happened. By mistake, when it came time for the chuppah, they ended up switching, and Reuven ended up living with Leah, and Shimon ended up living with Rachel. So what's the din? Hareil Chayav and Mishum Eishes Esh. They're both Chayav because of Eishes Esh. Now let's add another layer onto it. Vimhayu Achin. If Reuven and Shimon were brothers, so Chayav and Af Mishum Eishes Ach. Now they're Chayav because of Eishes Ach. Each of them was with the wife of their brother. Adding on another layer, Vimhayu Achayos. If Rachel and Leah were sisters, Chayav and Af Mishum Veishal Achaysa. One is Chayav for living with the sister of his wife. And one more layer, Vimhayu Nidais. If these women also happen to have been Nida, Chayav and Af Mishum Nidais, so they're Chayav because of Nida. Now practically, what's done? Vikulin in all these cases, Mafrishin Oisun Shlesh Chadashim. We have to separate them for 3 months before they return to the original husband. Shemu Mabar Zayin, maybe they're pregnant, and we need to know where the child comes from. Now, Vimhayu Katanus Shein Ruim Leilaid, if the women were Katanis that aren't able to have children, they're too young, so Machzir Nois and Miyad, we could send them back right away because they're for sure not pregnant. And Vimhayu Kaihanis, if these women were Kaihanim, Niflu Mina Kahuna, so now they're apostle from Kahuna, which the Gemara is going to explain why. So Chafim Bez on top, the Gemara tells us, Shem Shekitru Shtei Nashim Vechulu, and here's just a clarification of the Mishnah, Im Ba Al Hashniya Chayiv Shtayim. If he's Baal the second one, the other one he's Chayiv too, Mishum Eishas Ach, Mishum Isha Al Chayisa. In other words, the Gemara is clarifying that when the Mishnah says that Hechlifu es shel zeh bezeh es shel zeh lezeh, that means that each one was Baal the other one's wife. Now, Tanur Rabchiya teaches, Pa'am Arba, Pa'am Shmaino, Pa'am Shtei Masrei, Pa'am Sheshesrei. Sometimes in these situations, there's going to be a total of 4 korbanos which have to be brought, sometimes 8, sometimes 12, and sometimes 16. Now, we just speak this out. Hareil Chayav Mishum Eishas Ish, if they're only Chayav for Eishas Ish, because it was two random men who were Makadish two random women and then ended up switching, so Hahein Tarte, Hahein Tarte. These need two and those need two. Meaning each pair, man and woman, they have to bring 2 korbanos. The man has to bring one, the woman has to bring one. The man on the other side, the woman on the other side also have to bring one, so that's a total of 4. Now we add on the other layer, Im Hayu Achin, if they were brothers, so now they're going to be Oiver Mishum Eishas Ach also. Therefore, Hahein Arba, Vahein Arba. Each pair has to bring 4, which means each man and woman have to bring 2. And adding on the other layer, Im Hayu Achayos, if the women were also sisters, Mele, they're also going to be Oiver Mishum Isha Achaysa, so Ahein Shisa, Vahein Shisa. Each pair of men and women have to bring 6 korbanos, because that's 3 for each. And Mayu Nidais, if the women were Nidais, so we add another Isser Mishum Nida, so Hain Tamni Vahein Tamni, each pair has to bring 8 korbanos for a total of 16. Now we have more variations of this. Hain Ketanim Vahein Gedailais. Let's say the men were Ketanim and the women were Gedailais, so Paturin, they're Pater. That's because even though the Bia of a Katan, if he's 9 years old, is considered a valid Bia, he's not able to acquire a woman through Kiddushin, therefore there was no Kiddushin in the first place over here, so no one's Chayiv. Now what about the other way around? V'kulon hein gedoylin v'hein ketanois. Let's say the men were gedoylim and the women were ketanois. So chayim shtaim, they're chayiv too. Why is that? Shtaim shum nida, because of nida. I mean, even though a woman who's a ketana is not able to be mikudashas, still a man is chayiv for being bayla nida, even if she's a ketana. And so there will be a chiv on the man for being bayla nida. However, misina vihen mishum shmaina. If they were ketanois and their fathers had married them off, so that is a halachically valid marriage, then there's going to be a chiyuvim. Now let's say hay echad gadol v'echad katan. Regarding the men, one of them was a gadol, one of them was a katan, but the women were both gedailis. So anav elis mina katan chayavas mishum ishtei shel gadol. The one who had bia from the katan, so she's chayiv because she's the wife of the gadol. And when she accepted kiddushin from the gadol, that's 100% kiddushin. And now that she is bia to the katan, again since he's 9 years old, that's considered 100% bia. So she's considered to be mezanin. So she's chayiv. Whereas anav elis mina gadol patura mishum ishtei shel katan. The one who had bia with the gadol, she's pater because she's the wife of the katan, and that's not considered valid kiddushin. Memela, she's not chayiv for being mezanin. Now clarifying next in our mishnah, the gemara tells us. Rabba says, "B'shem Rav Yirmiyah, Anusa ain't a tzrichal hamtin shlesh chadashim. A woman who's violated doesn't have to wait 3 months before getting married. We don't have to see whether or not she's pregnant." As we learn about Tanan, we learn. learned in our Mishnah, do we have to separate them for 3 months because maybe they're pregnant? It's only if they were too young and they weren't able to bear children, so then they could go back to their proper husbands right away. But if they're able to have children, we have to separate them for 3 months before they go back to the original husband. So why would an anusa, a woman who's violated, not have to wait 3 months before she gets married? The answer is, shani hacha, this case is different, but b'nei tikkun avlad, that's because we just need to know, because we need it for the child. These two husbands that end up switching wives by accident, if the woman was pregnant, so we have to know who the real father is. And so if we're not going to separate them for 3 months, and then they're going to have a child, it could be it's from the first man, maybe it's from the second. That's why they have to separate for 3 months. But a woman who's an anusa, she was violated, anyway, the child's question is in status. As opposed to the case of anusa, when a woman's violated, that's very not shchiach, and we know when it's not shchiach, the chum were not geyser. And the last part of Mishra, we said, if they were kahanos, they're pasvam kahunos, so Rabbi he says, this tells us, that even in the case of Aines, that apostles to kahuna like an Ashes Ish. In other words, just like we know, then in the case of Ashes Ish, when a man lives with a married woman, if that was done willfully, now she's considered a Zaina and she's apostle to marry a Kayin. In the case of Kayhanim, even if a woman was violated or an Aines happened, like in our Mishnah where they accidentally switched, it wasn't on purpose, that apostles them to kahuna, and that's what the Mishnah was saying at the end. Hadronach Parak Arba Achin, Malstar finishing the third Parak of Mesachas Yivamas. Just like we finished this Parak together, we should finish the entire Mesachas Yivamas together, and of course, all of Shas Yerushalmi together. Moving right to the brand new parak. The Mishnah tells us, a person did chalitza tizivama v'nim sizmuberes. It turns out that she was pregnant, v'yalda, and then she gave birth. So b'zman shevacha kayama, if the child ended up living and was a good, viable child, so who mutter b'krevasev, he mutters b'krevav, he's mutter to marry her relatives, she's allowed to marry his relatives, avlai pasal mena kahuna, she's not pasal from kahuna, that's because that chalitza that he did is completely not valid. Retroactively, we see the chalitza wasn't necessary, so it's not chalitza, so she's mutter to marry kayin, and each of them are allowed to marry each other's relatives. If the child was not viable, it didn't end up living, so also b'krevasev, he also b'krevav, v'pasal makuna, she's not to marry her relatives, she's not to marry his relatives, and she's pasal from kuna, because this was a valid chalitza. Gemara quotes a Mishnah, chatzav imta, v'nitzis mubers v'chulu, we just clarify, b'sha'avar, this is only in the past, meaning b'di'eved, if he ended up doing chalitza to her, and then it turned out she was pregnant, so then this is a whole discussion. Ha'ketchila, loy, b'l'chatchila, he shouldn't have done this in the first place. Why? Dimasisa, because we have a Mishnah that tells us, ha'yivama, loy tachlot, v'latis yabim, achei losh lish chadashim, ha'yivama is not undergo chalitza or yibam until she waits 3 months to see if she's pregnant. Ask the Gemara, why not? V'tachlitz miyad. Let her undergo chalitza right away. Manavshach, either which way. Imin kayomho, if it turns out that she's pregnant and the child lives, so loy nagaba chalitza. The chalitza didn't touch her, which means anyway the chalitza wasn't valid. And imin ben kayomho, if the child doesn't live, so arei chalitza sabiyada. She has her chalitza that was done already, and so why not just get it over with? They intend to do chalitza, so just do chalitza right away, even without waiting 3 months. Sreb Zair quotes Reb Chiya B'shem Reb Bon, who says B'shem Reb Yechanan, shalitei tzricha kars l'kahuna. That's because we don't have to make an announcement for kahuna. If she underwent chalitza, and then later on it turns out that wasn't necessary because really she was pregnant and the child was viable, so everything was fine. Now we're going to have to make a whole big announcement letting everyone know, Rabbi Isai, she's a lot of Mary Kayin, she's not considered a chalitza. In order to prevent that, we say, just wait 3 months. And Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi says the same thing with Rabbi Shaya, Shleite Tzvicha Karz Lakuna, so we shouldn't have to announce her that she's Mutaris to Mary Kayin. Now, Tanya Rabbi Shaya teaches differently. While the chatchila, she's not going to have chalitza done right away without waiting 3 months. That's because the Pasuk tells us, Me'ein Yavami, my Yavam refuses. This is when they're doing the chalitza. Part of the process is that the woman tells the bezdin, my yavam refuses, he doesn't want to do yibam. What do we learn from here? Esha imrim loy yabim imrim loy chalitz. It's only in regards to the person whom we tell him you could do yibam, so we tell him you could do chalitza. V'chafal v'am raf on top. V'esha ain't imrim loy yabim ain't imrim loy chalitz. And we're not going to tell him do yibam, so we're not going to tell him do chalitza either. And since within 3 months he's not allowed to do yibam because we have to see if she's pregnant, so he's not allowed to do chalitza either. Now the Gemara asks, manaf gumineon, what's a practical nafkamina between these two explanations? So that would be haisak sher of an ischalala. Let's say she was kosher, meaning she originally was allowed to marry a kohen, and then she became a chalala, which is when a woman lives with a kohen whom she's not allowed to. Kigain, for example, Amar l'kohen gadol grusha chalutza kohen hedyet. An almana widow married a kohen gadol, or grusha chalutza married a kohen hedyet, so she's not allowed to marry a kohen anyway. Therefore, manda amr shleitei tzricha karz l'kahuna, according to the first manda amr Reb Zeira, who says the reason why we're not allowed to do early chalitza is that we don't have to go and make an announcement, oh, by the way, everyone, she's not a chalutza and she's mutter to marry a kohen. Ovezu, hayova ina tzricha karz l'kahuna, chaletzes. This one, anyway, she doesn't need an announcement regarding kayanim, because she's not a married kayan due to the fact that she's a chalala. Therefore, she would be allowed to receive early chalitza. Whereas manda amar esha ayim la yabim arm la chalitza, according to the second manda amar Rabbi Shaya, that if we tell him you could do yibam, so you'd be allowed to do chalitza. In this case, in a chalitza, no chalitza, because she can't do yibam, so no chalitza. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss early chalitza. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.